Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, April 16th.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. I'm good. If you didn't file your taxes yesterday, you're going to owe something.
Yeah.
Some kind of penalty. And me, at the last minute, I sent extensions on and a couple of the things. I had a lot to do for the business as well, you know. So I thought, you know, and the funny thing is, you know, come January 1st, I'm like, you know what, this year I'm really going to get it done in January. Sure enough, waited till April 15th.
I saw so many Facebook statuses that said, of course, I waited till the last day.
I know, but at least now we can file it electronically, you know, so you don't have to
go. Yeah, makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. It used to be that people would stand in line at the post office, like, you know, before midnight. So, you know, so they can send it. Everybody waits till the last minute.
Yeah.
But I just figured, you know, if I can't do this on time, I better get somebody to do it for me, you know?
Right.
You can't just, like, let it go, you know, because the IRS doesn't forget.
And
they
definitely don't.
And you never slip through the cracks either, you know?
No, they don't let anyone. Which is good, for that's one system that doesn't let people fall through the cracks.
Yeah. Yeah, when someone needs money from you, it's always perfect.
Yes.
You know, there's never any problems. Did you notice, like, with insurance and stuff, it's so easy for them to collect the money, but once you need the money from them, forget it.
Uh-huh. You know? Totally.
Yeah. And it happens with many purchases on the internet or offline, too. You know, you'll buy something, it's totally screwed up, and then you want to exchange it or something, and they won't let you.
I had a pair of jeans that, I mean, I'd had them probably 2 weeks, and they ripped. Uh-huh. And, I mean, it was in a place that there was no seam. They just ripped.
Right.
And I went to the store, and I said, I was like, look, these jeans, obviously there's something wrong with them. Like, I'm not that overweight that they should have ripped. Like, I really haven't put weight on. And she was like, well, there's nothing we can do. I can't remember what she said. And I made a fuss. I made a really big fuss because I said, this is not my fault. Like, your jeans are obviously faulty that they ripped along a line that's not a seam.
Right.
But she wasn't having it.
No, huh?
Nope. So I couldn't get
a new pair.
Was that
like a big department store?
It was just one of the high street stores, Wet Seal. So then I refused to buy jeans there again.
Wow, that's interesting that they did that. You know,
I stand my ground.
You should. You know, I mean, the thing is that, you know, when you go to a place like Macy's or something, they'll take it back anything, you know. Costco, you know, some of those stores. So they, again, you know, like we were talking yesterday about money back guarantee and stuff. You know, you take the risk away from the customer. The customer
definitely
should not have to take a risk. They're already paying money.
Yes. I mean, CVS, you can open things.
Oh, really? And take it back?
I mean, you could use it because they don't know if you've used it or not when you've opened something. And if you're not happy with it, take it back. And they take, even if the package is completely, the packaging is completely ripped open.
Yeah.
They take it
back.
And
that's what customer service is all about, you know. And today you can't get away. You see, because what happens in competition, if someone does something and it's successful, you have to follow suit.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to be just knocked out of the competition. So what happens is, you know, if a company starts, like, guaranteeing their merchandise, you know, we'll take it back.
People are going to want to go there.
Exactly. So you would think other stores would do the same. And especially, you know, by now in the 21st century, where we're taking back things and money back guarantees have been around for decades, you know. So I don't know how companies, but yeah, you see, they lost a customer now.
Definitely. I used to buy all my jeans there.
Really?
But I won't anymore because the fact that one pair's ripped, now it's like, well, another pair might rip.
Exactly.
And yeah, they're cheap, but I don't want to be spending my life going to Wet Seal and buying jeans.
Right. Yeah,
and
I know.
Hold my money, because by the time I've bought 5 pairs of them, I could have bought a nice pair of jeans.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true, you know.
Did you use your pillow last night?
No, I didn't. But you know why? Because I figured I probably need some preparation to figure out how it works and stuff. And I went to sleep so late, I didn't have a chance to. But did you?
I did.
Yeah.
And so every night I wake up all the time through the night. I just, and I kind of, I think it's from my swimming days, because I used to like counting down. If I woke up at 1, I was like, yes, I still have 4 more hours to sleep. And then if I woke up at like 4:40, I'd be like, oh no, I have like 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
So I think I just always wake up through the night. Last night, I didn't wake up.
Wow.
I know.
That's a big deal.
It's crazy, right? And,
right.
And I don't know.
Was it comfortable?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I find it strange that this is all from the pillow, that I didn't wake up. But I mean, I guess it works.
It does. And you know what? Pillow is so important. And I was telling him yesterday. By the way, for those who didn't listen yesterday, we had the CEO of MyPillow at MyPillow.com. And this is a guy that I've seen all over the place advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about that. And he's got a very unique pillow that he brought us. And so that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about sleeping and everything yesterday. And you know, the thing is this, is that I had like neck problems for years.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning I'd get up, I had a headache, you know, that stems from the neck. And until I got this special pillow, you know, and now I don't have it anymore. So a pillow is very important, you know, and this pillow sort of like stays in the shape that you put it in, right?
Yeah. Well, so I don't even remember. I just fell right asleep and I didn't wake up. That's all I remember.
Yeah. So you see, so you're proving what we said yesterday, that down pillows are not good for you. You know, they might be comfortable and fun, you know, to sink your head in them. But
no, but yeah,
no support.
Definitely. And I slept soundly. And I found it strange when I woke up at 7:30 and I was like, wow, I didn't wake up once. And I woke up not to my, and I prefer waking up earlier and not to my alarm clock.
Right. Does it ever happen?
Yeah, most of the time it does. Usually I wake up around 7:30.
Wow. So you have like an internal clock.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I don't really need to wake up till 8.
Yeah.
But I usually wake up at 7:30, which is better because I get my coffee, do a few things before.
Right.
But yeah, so I woke up nice and happy, and I was like, but it was weird because I always wake up during the night, and I count down.
Wow.
Like, oh, I can still sleep for 6 more hours.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, whereas, I do that too when I wake up in the middle of the night.
Whereas this morning, it was strange. I was like, wow.
Wow.
I slept the whole way through and didn't wake up once.
Wow. Well, we should tell him about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look, if something doesn't work, you don't become that big, you know?
Exactly.
You can't go on fooling people for years,
no,
you know?
No, you can't. Yeah.
So you can make claims and everything, you know, but if it doesn't work, forget about it.
Completely.
So, so obviously this works, you know, and he said they sold 4 million of them, so... It's possible.
Yeah,
it's
seriously.
Possible, yeah.
And I was looking at the website, and just all of it looks amazing. I mean, the top, what are they called?
Yeah, the like top thing for the mattress.
Yeah, for the mattress. Because
right.
I have a feather one.
Oh,
my bed's
you?
Like a cloud.
Yeah.
I have a big feather comforter, a feather topper, feather pillows.
It does sound like a cloud, man.
But it's not the best thing for me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You do need support. And they say mattresses are very important too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important when you go get a mattress that it works for you.
It's
you
one know? Of the most fun things to do, and just try them all.
That's true. Huh? Except it's hard to choose after a while.
It
There's
is.
So many
narrowing
choices.
Them down, and then, well, they feel kind of the same, but...
I know. And then they're expensive, too. I mean,
they
have
are.
You seen what they cost?
They are.
I mean, if you want a good one, it's at least like $800, $1,000.
When I moved from Florida, I sold everything, and I just kept every dollar that I made, because I sold everything, my bed, my dresser, even like mirrors and clocks, and because I had a lot of stuff in Florida.
Yeah, and what's the point in moving
and,
it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And but I needed every dollar for when I came out here.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's fun. I love buying furniture and decorating.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I'm not into that. You know, when I go to IKEA, it's only being dragged there.
Uh-huh.
Know? But but at the same time, they have nice things at furniture stores. I mean, actually, that's true. I enjoyed it when I refurnished my apartment and stuff. It was fun. But, you know, I mean, I still have like bare walls, you know, from after the separation and everything. And I haven't had a chance to go and get like pictures. And
I'll go with you.
You know, yeah. I know. It's like, you know, women get like all kinds of like, what they call them? Like
paintings. And
yeah, like all kinds of things, you know, like tchotchkes and stuff.
Yeah.
Is what they call it in Yiddish.
Yep. But, I love decorating.
Yeah.
But I also, I'm excited for when I have a lot of money and I can go to you nice places.
Spend, yeah. Okay, so we'll go together. You can spend my money.
Then there we go.
That'll be fun for you, right? I know, other people's money, man. It's always fun to spend.
Right. It's even better than spending your own.
For sure. So in a couple of minutes, we're going to call our guest, who is an author, and she sent us a book, and we're going to call her. It's funny because we used to, you know, we used to call the guests, and this company still remembers that we would call our guests, so that's what happens. Now we're having the guests calling in because it's a lot simpler.
Yeah.
But we might as well give her a call. I mean, we're already at that time. So we're going to talk to Sonia Rhodes. So let me call her, and we're going to discuss her book, The Alpha Woman Meets Her Match. Wow.
That's Sonia Rhodes.
Sonia, good morning. This is Sam and Charlotte calling you from L.A. How are you doing?
Great. I'm doing great. How is the weather in L.A.? Great?
Beautiful.
It's the same every day. You should know that.
We're so jealous in New York, you know.
Yeah. Is that where you are now in New York?
Yes, I'm in New York now. Oh, that's where I live.
Wonderful. Nice. Did you grow up there in New York, or did you?
I did not grow up in New York. I grew up in, believe it or not, Buffalo. And
oh, cool.
The minute I got out of Buffalo, I never went back.
Really? Huh? That's such a great place, you say?
No way.
Amazing.
The first man who could take me out of Buffalo was the guy I married.
Oh, wow.
That's a joke.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it's usually a man or a woman that drags you to another city, you know? Or
right.
And stuff like that. That's true, yeah.
I love it in New York. I do love it here.
That's great. And being a writer and everything, I imagine it's a lot easier there with publishers and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, you know, the whole city is organized around business. So you can find an agent, a publisher, a publicity person. All the television I'm doing pretty much is in New York. The radio is all over the country, but I can do it right from my, you know, my studio.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a great place to be. I mean, in so many ways.
That's
I mean, true. I do love L.A. also. I mean, our son went to Stanford, and we went out to California all the time and loved it, explored up and down the coast. I've been to California at least 50 or 60 times.
Oh, wow.
You know,
oh, my God.
Where are you in L.A.?
Yeah, we're in L.A., yeah. I mean, I haven't been to California 50, 60 times.
That's impressive.
I've only been here a couple times.
We go to California every chance we have. We love all the different parts of California.
That's great. The best thing.
Yeah, well, we stay in New York.
Okay. Well, we love our tourists here, and you're welcome anytime. So let's get to your book. Now, are you an author, or do you do other things as well?
I am an author of this book, but I'm also a therapist. I'm a psychologist, a PhD. I have a private practice in New York, and I see couples. I see individuals and couples, and I have been doing this for 35 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
very
so
cool.
You're not new to this.
I'm not new to this. Yeah, I've seen everything.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. I mean, you're one who has an idea about people and relationships and so forth, right?
Right,
it's nothing
exactly.
new to you. Yeah. Great.
I hope so. I really hope so. I mean, one of the things that I wrote this book about was the new trending toward alpha women who started coming into my office. Are we live now or not?
Yes, we're live. We're live.
Oh, we are. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
And so you wrote The Alpha Woman Meets Her Match. And that's your book. When did you release the book? Recently?
Just yesterday.
Congratulations.
Was a pub date. Everybody bought books yesterday and hopefully in the future.
Awesome.
Well, the title definitely makes me want to read it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know,
hope
me
so.
Too.
It really
so.
Does.
I mean, it's a book for everybody. It's not just a book for women in their 20s and 30s and 40s, which we sort of thought originally, because younger women are reading the book and older women are reading the book. Hopefully, we're going to have some male readers, which would be great. We usually don't buy these books.
Right.
But I think that women will introduce produce this book, because it's really a celebration not only of alpha women, but also of beta men.
Right. So tell us what alpha and beta means for those who don't know. I mean, I know what alpha is. I don't know what beta is.
Okay. So let me just define it in terms of sort of the way we talk about it in the book.
Okay.
Since, you know, for alpha women, I just want to put it in a social context, 45% of household income is contributed by women. In 97% of the cities in the United States, and that's not just L.A. and New York, but that's across the country, single college-educated women under the age of 30 are making more money than men.
Wow.
And more women are graduating from college and graduate school. So we have, this is the social landscape in which the alpha woman has evolved. She is a strong, assertive, confident woman who's a natural leader. The alpha women have incorporated what we have thought to be masculine traits into their personalities, dominance, boldness, decisiveness. But these are actually gender-neutral traits, although we have associated them with men in the past, but they really apply to both men and to women.
Right.
So what is most significant about the alpha woman today is that her behavior challenges the traditional gender role stereotypes that we have assigned to women, such as being ladylike, gentle, nurturing,
right,
and have expanded that definition.
Right.
So that their personalities are fuller, and that both, and actually these ideas apply to men as well, because men have expanded their personalities to include what we have considered to be feminine traits. And both men and women now are acting sort of in gender-neutral roles, which are common, just showing common human characteristics as opposed to male or female rigidly defined roles.
That's true.
Right.
And, you know, and that's the thing, though, is that, you know, you're so right about this, because I know that when people start talking about strong, women leaders and so forth, like Hillary Clinton, for example, people always give her a hard time. You know, she's behaving manly and so forth, you know. And
it's true. I mean, it has been a bad reputation in the past for the alpha woman. She's been seen as domineering, bossy, controlling, maybe even bitchy. This is because alpha women like Hillary Clinton, and now we have so many more alpha women that are, you know, kind of much more in the mainstream. I mean, I think Hillary Clinton is in the mainstream also, but I'm saying because these women were acting outside of what was considered acceptable female behavior, and they were slammed for it. But today, because of all the changes economically and politically, women need alpha traits to succeed. They need alpha traits to be able to compete in larger society. So the alpha woman has come out of the penalty box, and she's in the mainstream of the culture now. And we have so many more role models. I mean, Hillary Clinton was one of the maybe first, not the first. I mean, we had Betty Friedan, we have Golda Meir, but we have now women like Janet Yellen, we have women like Kristen Gillibrand, we have Mary Barra, we have a ton of women role models that are alpha women.
Definitely. And when you said bossy, it reminds me of a campaign that it's, I'm not bossy, I'm the boss. It's led by...
I know.
Yeah, and I love that, because bossy is, it's a word that's seen to be for women that's, and it has a negative connotation where it really isn't.
Yeah,
with a put down. Exactly.
With a put down.
Exactly. And men can get away with this, and but they just are seen as independent and strong, and that's what they're supposed to
assertive
do.
Assertive and aggressive. Yeah. I mean, that is one of the main points of the book, is that we want to get beyond these sort of narrowly defined gender roles, so that women, you know, who are take charge women are really strong women, just as men who take charge are perceived as strong men. I mean, those pejorative labels like bossy are put downs. And there's nothing wrong with being bossy in the right social context.
Right.
As long as you're not rolling over people and you're not throwing people under the bus. Being strong and in charge and being decisive are very important qualities for women. They are qualities that women need in order to succeed.
Definitely.
And develop confidence in the business world.
Right. And you go beyond that. I mean, you actually address the issue of relationships with men and stuff. So discuss that a little bit.
Okay, sure. I mean, one of the reasons I wrote this book is because about 10 years ago, I started seeing more and more alpha women in my practice. And one of the things that they were very worried about was that that marriage had eluded them. They were women who had spent their 20s and their early 30s developing, becoming independent, developing their careers, really maturing. And so when they hit their 30s, they began to panic because the media has been very negative about alpha women in the past. The media has said, basically, don't be too strong. Mm-hmm. You must be too threatening. Men are going to be threatened by you, and you're never going to get married because who's going to marry you? And that is absolute nonsense. As I began to work with these women, I did some research and found out that actually, between the ages of 30 and 45, women between the ages of 30 and 45 are getting married at a higher rate than any other group of women.
Wow.
That's interesting.
And I know, you would think that the women were younger, but the whole marriage is skewing older, and it's the less educated, poorer women who can't find partners that are good for them. The older women are finding partners. They are going to walk down the aisle. I tell my patients, do not panic. It's going to happen. It's going to happen for you. But you do have to look in the right place. And I think alpha women in the past have been looking at alpha men. They found alpha men to be exciting and, you know, adventurous and really hot. They thought that the alpha man who was sort of advertised as the perfect partner for them was the most desirable mate because he was aggressive and he was a breadwinner. But actually, for alpha women today, the alpha man is not the best partner. He is better off with a beta partner. The alpha man is better off with a beta woman who is a strong, competent woman herself, but it doesn't mind letting her husband take the lead, doesn't mind taking a back seat, will accommodate more than the alpha woman would. So the alpha woman should shift her focus to the beta male. He is a warmer, more supportive partner who won't be threatened by her alpha. In fact, the beta male is the perfect team player. He's what I call the new catch, because just like the alpha woman is not a bitch, the beta guy is not a wimp. He's a strong guy who is assertive, but he's not confrontational. He is accommodating, but he's not compliant. He works hard, but he's not a total workaholic. And he is the kind of guy who is going to partner, parent, and pull his own weight with an alpha woman. He's going to be a real teammate. Today, the whole relationship models are moving in the direction of egalitarian relationships, where there's more parity between the couple, where they share in the work and they share at the home. And so, this is the beta guy is going to be really a better partner for the alpha woman because he's going to respect her and he's going to support her goals. And those two things are two of the most important things in a successful marriage, being supportive and respect.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think about the beta? I'm just curious. What do you think about the beta male?
No, I mean, that's the thing. It sounds like a dream catch for any woman, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to help out with the chores and support you and all these things. Yeah. So I can see where a woman would find that attractive as well as women that find the alpha male attractive.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think the beta male used to be a harder sell because he was perceived as wimpier, but
right.
When you look at the social trends and you look at the changes in social roles for men and women, the beta man has really risen to the occasion. I mean, he has really stepped his act up, and he is really a partner. He's a great partner.
Right. Now,
and partners are valued. I mean, partners are really important these days, especially if women are 50% of the breadwinners in the family. You need a partner. You need somebody who's going to pull his own weight and share the responsibilities of being a parent and household responsibilities as well as the financial burdens.
So a beta is someone that will share the responsibilities and everything, whereas the alpha takes charge and does it all?
Right. I mean, the alpha person, and both females and males, are a little bit harder to negotiate with. They are used to calling the shots and getting their own way. Right. I think for alpha women, they are different than alpha men because they are still feminine. They are still women. And second of all, they are alpha women.
Right.
So that they are used to being team players to begin with, and they're more relationship oriented. But the alpha male usually, and I'm not, don't want to stereotype any more than I want to stereotype any other, you know, female or male, he is usually used to getting his own way and being dominant in a situation, and it's hard for him to really move over and make room for somebody else.
Right, that's true. And usually people that compliment each other get along
better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because otherwise, you know, you have two leaders, you know, two chiefs trying to each one pull in his own way, and
exactly.
you don't get anywhere.
Yeah, you have to work as a team.
You just end up locking horns. And I mean, I see it in my office all the time.
Yeah.
I have men and women who are alphas who are really very successful and have their own careers and are sort of a power couple. But once they have children, it really gets complicated because then they have to compromise more. They have to make adjustments, and they have to share responsibilities for caretaking. Even if they have, you know, money for staff and whatever, once they have children, it really gets a little bit you know, dangerous for them. And they are the couples that are most vulnerable. They are the couples that I see in my office that are most vulnerable to divorce.
What do you recommend to the couples that are both alphas? What do you tell them to do?
Well, for one thing, one of the first things I say is somebody has to accommodate here. You have to take, you know, a stand. You have to step back and realize that things can't always be your way.
Right.
And that's really hard. That's really hard for alphas. I mean,
really,
I think it's harder for males than for females, but it, you know, now that we have a lot of strong women out there, they're used to running companies. They're used to telling people what to do. They do not like being subservient. I have one woman in my office. Her famous line is, "Gosh, he wants me to be Mary Poppins. I'm just not Mary Poppins."
Yeah.
I mean, and these couples, you know, they respect each other's achievements, but when it comes to really respecting each other as people, it's not there. They're very achievement-oriented, and they don't really appreciate and extend the respect to the other person as a real well-rounded person with all sorts of needs.
Right. Now, you know,
my recommendations are you sort of have to give, and you know, kind of you have to think about how you always turn. This is another one of my big issues, that you turn small decisions into power struggles.
Right.
Things that don't have to be power struggles.
That's true. I've experienced that quite a bit, let me tell you. And it does not help the marriage at all. Now, I wanted to ask you, so being alpha or beta, it sounds like it's actually, you know, integrated into your personality. It's your temperament. It's your outlook on life. Is this something that people can actually change, or are you
absolutely
pretty much stuck? Really?
Absolutely. I don't know. Have you taken the quiz? I have a quiz in the book, the Alpha Beta Continuum, and it's a quiz that includes 100 questions. 50 of them are alpha questions, and 50 of them are beta questions, and they're all mixed up, so you can't really tell. And you check them off. You check off only the ones that apply to you. And at the end of that, you get an alpha-beta score. So you get a ratio. Nobody is one thing or the other thing. You get
right.
a balanced picture. You see you're more alpha than beta or more beta than alpha, and you get a percentage, a ratio score. So when you look at those scores and you look at the map that we have, a little graph that we have where you can place yourself, you're going to think about, okay, what do I need to do to become a little bit more beta to offset some of my very strong alpha qualities? Or the reverse, what do I need to do as a beta to get a little bit stronger and to be able to assert myself more? You know, this quiz has been used now by not only individuals and couples and actually families, but also in business, because we're looking for a fit. We're looking for a good balance between alpha and beta, and we're looking for people who can assess their personalities with respect to their strengths and weaknesses. So it tells you how you can change for the better. If you're too extreme at either end, you want to move towards the middle. And of course, people, there is a lot of plasticity to the personality. We're not all, you know, kind of rigidly dedicated to certain behaviors. Sometimes it's hard to change, but if we know the direction that we have to change in, it's easier.
Right.
I'm reading some of these, and I don't know what I would be. I'm going to take this quiz.
Oh, I hope you do take the quiz. Truthfully, most reporters and journalists that I've talked to are more alpha than beta. Right. And it makes sense because, for women anyway, actually for men too, it makes sense because these are the qualities that you really need to get ahead.
That's true. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so we're talking to Sonia Rhodes. The book is The Alpha Woman Meets Her Match. And finally, I wanted to ask you, so where would a woman like this find such a man? I mean, where do they usually meet?
Well, first place, in New York, everybody is working for some company. Although I don't recommend people finding mates in their business,
right.
It's a big city, and the internet does level the playing field. We have all sorts of dating sites.
Right.
People meet each other through friends. You know, it's a numbers game. And once you know sort of the kind of person you're looking for, you can spend a couple dates with that person and figure it out that this is not going to work or
right.
it's going to
mm-hmm.
work, you know?
Yeah.
And so I always encourage women to, you know, and men, you know, just date, just get to know people, spend some time with people. Don't make any one person it too soon. Get to know them better. There's a lot of people in the urban areas. I'm sure in other areas there's, you know, churches and synagogues. Where you can meet people, you can meet people in the grocery store. I always talk to people in the grocery store, even though I'm not looking for a mate.
Wow.
I'm always talking to somebody about
nobody ever talks to me in the grocery store.
But if you're open and receptive and you don't like hitch on to somebody too quickly, you're going to find out a lot about yourself and about him.
That's
going to be very useful.
Right.
And because there are a lot of single people, everybody in big cities are lonely. They need to have relationships. They want companionship. And so you need to kind of keep these relationships loose until you know that this is a good partner
right.
For you. And don't be fooled by all the texting. That is one of my big issues with my patients, is that all this texting that goes on before you meet or after you meet, there's so much more texting than there is to-face communication. It drives me absolutely crazy.
And when people are completely different people.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, absolutely. You don't know anything about anybody from a website. I mean, really, or from a text. You know them from spending time with them.
Exactly.
Face-to-face
even talking on the phone. Yeah.
Definitely.
Even talking on the phone, you know, and it's just that people are so stuck on that texting now, you know. Now, I wanted to ask you, Sonia, just quickly, now, what happens if you get like two beta mates, you know, like a woman and a man? What kind of relationship will they have?
Okay, so betas, let's just draw the picture of the betas. Betas are, you know, softer people. They are actually, they're strong people, but they are not necessarily leaders. They move into leadership positions if they have to, but they don't gravitate towards them.
Right.
They're willing to turn the spotlight over to somebody else. They're sensitive, responsible, caring, very nurturing, and two betas actually make a great team.
That's
two
what
betas
I thought.
Make a very, very good team.
Yeah.
The downside of the beta combination is that they may be a little conflict avoidant, and they may not challenge each other, or they may find difficulty disagreeing with each other.
Mm.
That is the downside of the beta relationship. But it's basically a very peaceful relationship, a very loving one, and two betas are well matched.
Right.
Other than an alpha and a beta, is there another category?
The alpha, the beta, the beta, the beta. And then there's all different degrees on the graph,
okay.
as you see. I think there are 9 different categories.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it myself. I think there are 9. And when you're low beta and low alpha, then you're more vulnerable for, you know, kind of a really wishy-washy relationship that two people who are clinging to each other because they haven't developed enough. But they're all combinations of alpha and beta relationships. They're not just 70-30. They could be, kind of 50-50. They could be 60-40. There's all kinds of those relationships within possibility.
Right.
And people are such a mixture of alpha and beta qualities. There's so much complexity in relationships that you can't pigeonhole them. You can't just say, this is the best relationship. There are lots of relationships, but you need to think, okay, if I'm very high alpha, I do need somebody who's beta to mellow me out. And if I'm very low, if I'm lower beta or if I'm mid beta, I need somebody to kind of like spur me on. Right. So those are the relationships I think I talk about maybe the most in the book, but there's so many different combinations that you can make. And then I have 9 different combinations that, that people can look at.
Wow. Sounds good. Sonia Rhodes, and you wrote this with Susan Schneider. Maybe we should give her credit too.
Susan Schneider is my co-author. She is a fabulous writer, and she makes me sound very smart.
Uh-huh.
we have met, we've been working together for years and years, and she's a wonderful writer. I love her style. She catches my voice. My voice is very strong in the book, and we're great partners. We have an unusually good partnership relationship, which I'm very proud of.
Sounds exciting. Okay. Very cool. Sonia Rhodes, the book is The Alpha Woman Meets Her Match.
Meets Her Match. It's in the bookstores now. It's on Amazon in audio and hardback and in Kindle version. And you can get it anywhere at bookstores and online. And my website is called The Alpha Woman Book website, and there's free giveaways and all kinds of great things. My Huffington blog is on there. I write a Huffington blog about twice a week, so there's a lot of Huffington blog articles. I write a Psychology Today blog also. So there's a lot of material on the website that will give you an idea of what the book is about, and then I hope you buy the book.
Great, and I'm sure if you Google your name, all these things are going to come up as well.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Sonia, thank you, and we'll put a link to your website as well on our website. And all the best to you. You're full of interesting information, so thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. The book is The Alpha Woman Meets Her Match. Go get it.
Yes,
thanks a lot.
Definitely. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Always promoting, man.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, because then I think of my relationships, and I'm like, I don't know what I am.
Right.
I think I am alpha, but I'm not super dominating. I don't need to, especially in a relationship, I'm fine to take a back seat.
And right. So I'm you're really, beta.
Because I'm easygoing.
Right.
But I'm also a leader.
Right.
So it's like, I guess I don't know.
But that's the thing.
Maybe
look,
I'm a bit of both. I'm going to take that quiz and find out.
Yeah,
now
but that's the thing is that, you know, she said that, you know, every man and woman has both in them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I think, a level of degree, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, you can be a leader and also take a back seat sometimes.
Yeah.
I know I do that, you know, sometimes. I just don't want to, you know, be in the center. I don't want to make the decisions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to lead. I want just to sit back and relax and let somebody else do it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm like that too. With things like going out to dinner, I never care.
Really?
I couldn't care less.
Really?
Where do you want to live, then I care.
Yeah.
I guess it's bigger things that I'm more like, I want this, this, and this.
And that's the thing, you know, I mean, that's what she was talking about. It's like you don't need to pick on everything, you know.
Yeah.
And you're more, I think, tolerant and understanding when you have more beta in you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because that's what I was curious about, is if you're one, can you become the other? You know, and I don't know. I mean, I think it's really personality. I don't see how you can ever change something like that.
Yeah, I don't see a beta that's very dominating and
right.
I don't see them or then the,
yeah,
learning
exactly.
to take the back seat. That's probably tough.
Right. Or, you know, I think actually when you think about it, you know, maybe shy people in school and stuff. Excuse me.
When they can branch out and become
exactly, they become more assertive and things like that, where alpha, I think they tend to stay that way, you know. It's hard to be a leader and then to sort of
and
like,
then to not be shit. But you're right, when shy people kind of break out of their shell,
right, and they can, you know, they can come out and say listen to me, you know, here you know, I'm woman, you know, listen to me and look at me and, you know, and respect me. So that's that, you know, and I'm happy we talked to her about it. Yeah, I'm going to read the book, even though I'm not a woman, you know. But it's there's been a movement like that, you know.
And, completely.
You know, the I forgot her name from Facebook who wrote the book Lean In. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's...
Yeah, they mentioned it here, but yeah. They mentioned it because of the movement, you know.
Well, that's what I was actually trying to look in, right. Look up, because I don't know if that's the book I've read, but I've read one of those books.
Right.
Yeah. And they're all interesting.
Right. And yeah, Lean In really started the conversation, though, because, you know, the woman's famous. She's on Facebook and stuff. And so people were listening to what she had to say. The book became very popular. And now they started I don't know if it's a movement, but...
Oh, well, this is the Bossy Movement.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, sorry, yeah, there you go.
We're talking about...
There you go, the Bossy Movement.
That's the Bossy Movement, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it's good, you know. I mean, you know, women have been, out there for many decades. So this has been a long time coming.
Yes,
you know,
really has.
To give women the benefit of a doubt and say,
and the recognition,
you know,
that they need to...
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's that about relationships and stuff. It doesn't leave us much time. But this was interesting, close to home for me. They say that casual marijuana use may damage your brain. I'm here to say that they're probably right. But,
I think it's all in moderation.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think, now they say anything. I mean, anything can give you cancer. Anything
right.
can damage your brain. Anything can cause anything.
That's true. Yeah.
So it was probably an easy article to write.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because everything these days can lead to something that leads to something else.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. You know, but they did take some people and and gave some. Had them smoke and some did not and stuff, and they were comparing them, doing MRI tests and things like that. So,
interesting.
Yeah,
so maybe.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is this, marijuana users, they don't really care about anything, so they don't care about the brain damage either. You know?
When I was camping, the people that were next to us in the campground, I mean, the whole time it just smelled of
Yeah, it
of
smelled
weed.
Of it.
And they were the happiest people. They had like t-shirts on, they weren't cold and it was freezing, and I was there with like four layers of And they were just so
That's
happy,
funny.
Chilling. They were just content.
Wow.
Very content being in the middle of Big Sur.
Yeah.
Smoking weed.
Yeah. You know what they have this week is Coachella. Have you heard of that one?
Yes. I knew a lot of people that went last weekend.
Yeah. So it's two weekends, I guess. My son is going tomorrow.
He is.
Or something. Yeah.
I've never been into the big concerts. I would like to go to Stagecoach, which is the country version. It's like the country one.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I'm not big into like.
Yeah, if you're not into camping, you're
stuff.
Not gonna
yeah.
like that, you know.
Yeah, but it was also my friend went in. She said it was like 110, and
wow.
on the Saturday there was a sandstorm. And when she got back to the tent, I mean, her face was just covered in sand and her hair was all
wow.
sandy. And she had like sand burn on her face because the sandstorm was so bad.
Wow.
But then on Sunday, it was back to like 110.
Wow. Wow.
So that was like a different kind of
like
camping.
Like a sandblaster, you know,
yeah.
those things that mm-hmm. actually they used to remove paint and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
But she said it was really cool.
Yeah,
it was a
they
lot of
enjoyed
fun.
It, huh?
Yeah.
I know. I don't know if I could deal without all the conveniences. Too, you
and
know?
So many people.
Right.
Because that's the kind of camping where if you need the bathroom, I mean, you're probably going to be waiting for 20 minutes because the lines are so bad. At least where I was, the campground wasn't that big. So I was never really waiting for the bathroom.
Yeah. And then they have Burning Man, too. I don't know if you've heard of that one. That's a similar thing as well.
Oh, really?
People go to the desert and it's supposed to be very cool. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. again, no... I don't think they have running water. They don't have anything, really. Just out
wow.
there, you know.
Because they... Is it a concert?
No, it's more like a gathering, you know?
Oh, okay,
I mean,
yeah.
It probably looks like the concerts we were talking mm-hmm. about, but maybe without the bands and stuff.
Yeah, because they have... I mean, they have loads of the... They have Hangout, which is in Florida. Uh-huh. They have Ultra, uh-huh. Which is a huge one. That's in Miami every year. Uh-huh. I think that just went. But they have so many, and thousands and thousands. I mean, Ultra, people travel, and Coachella.
Right.
From other countries to go.
Yeah, from all over the place.
Yeah, and a lot of celebrities go to Coachella.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Beyonce and Jay-Z were there last weekend, and it's a big place for...
Nice.
Yeah, celebrities to go.
Yeah.
They probably don't camp.
Yeah, they probably don't. Huh? They take a helicopter.
I'm sure they're in a 5-star hotel somewhere. I can't see Beyonce camping.
Yeah, but maybe they like to rough it up a little bit.
You never know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, live a little on the edge. You know.
I think I would be the snob in the hotel. I think now. I'm done with camping. I'll pay for even a motel. I don't care. Just a room.
Yeah, give me bed, right?
Just something warm.
Yeah.
But I would like to go camping in the warmth.
Yeah.
Because I bet it's completely different.
That's true, though.
But then I don't think I would like being like really hot and dehydrated. And
right. And it's usually windy at the beach and stuff.
You know, true.
So that makes it harder, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. This reminds me, one time we went to one of the beaches here, and I was meeting my friends, and one of them had a baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they took like this, it's not a tent, but one of those things that, well, it is like a tent that you take to the beach.
Okay.
But it was pretty big, you know, tall and everything, where a whole family, a couple families can sit underneath.
Oh, wow.
And as I'm walking towards them, they were like close to the water. As I'm walking towards them, the wind started blowing. It blew this whole thing.
Oh, like a top?
Yeah. Like- and the legs of it are metal. Okay, so it's not just canvas stuff, it's metal. And it started like being blown away along the beach. And I thought, man, this is going to hit somebody and cause a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And you know what? Luckily, I mean, it was like bouncing off from one place to the other.
Oh my gosh.
And around people, and nobody got hurt.
That's lucky, because
that's very lucky.
When the steel, was it stainless steel, as we said, metal legs, like that can hurt someone, especially if it's windy and it's going fast.
And it's a heavy thing, too, you know. It's not like a light thing at all. And I was walking towards him, and I thought, oh, my God, if somebody dies, you know, I mean, who's going to be held responsible? I mean, the thing is, you can't really do anything if the wind is blowing it, you know.
No, you can't. Yeah. Wow, that's... I don't like situations like that.
I know. It makes you nervous.
I'm that one that's always saying, wait, but this could happen. Wait, but this could happen. Like, that's me. And they're like, Charlotte, stop.
That's why you have a hard time dealing with the earthquakes, you know?
I'm thinking worst case scenario in my head all the time.
Yeah.
Runs in my family.
Really, huh? Yes. Well, we'll have to teach you to be a little more optimistic.
I know. It's weird, though, because I am laid back.
Right.
So it's like this is like the alpha beta. I have a bunch I'm all mixed up.
But we all have fears and things like that, you know. And so I don't blame you at all, you know.
I see it more being practical.
Right.
That's the way.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, when I get on a plane, I start thinking of all the worst things too, you know. Or like sometimes when I leave the house, you know, I'm thinking, you know, what's going to happen today? You know, it's kind of scary sometimes when you realize how abrupt life can be, you know, and things that happen in your life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So right before we leave, I see somebody's trying to call, but we really don't have time to take the call. I just wanted to say, because this is interesting, they're saying that many states are going to make it mandatory to have a kill switch on your phone, which means that you can destroy all the data remotely if you lose it or something, you know.
I think that's a great idea.
I think it's a good idea, and, you know, it protects people and stuff. So
definitely.
I guess when they're going to require phone makers to make it, it'll be a lot easier. Because I know when I lost my phone once, I was more concerned about what people might find on it.
Exactly.
Than like just losing the phone and having to replace.
Photos and everything on it. And even your bank account details. I mean,
yeah,
I have online
and text
banking.
And, I mean, texts you write and... Oh, yeah. I mean, your whole life is on your phone. It's very scary to think it could fall into the wrong hands.
Completely.
That's why I'm always happy to use the passcode and stuff, you know, to log on, because It just makes you feel a little more secure. You
definitely.
Know? Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for thank you to Sonia for coming on the show and talking about her book. And we're going to have your boss soon, right?
Yeah, Maria, Friday.
Maria Menounos.
Maria Menounos. Yeah,
she's going to be on the show. Mm-hmm. So you guys should look forward to that. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, know? And she'll be calling in from the set of Extra.
Oh, wow. Yeah. She still does Extra,
yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow, awesome. Does. All right. Well, Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.